Just took a little trip to heaven there for a few minutes and tried to imagine what Isaiah saw there in Isaiah chapter 6, hearing those angels, holy, holy, holy. Imagine what it's going to be like to see his face and to hear him say those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, I am overflowing. I think I've said that three or four times today. I am overflowing today. I love this church. I love the fellowship. I love the worship together with you and just these. I feel like I've been here 2 weeks already. It's only been a couple days, but the fellowship has been sweet. Y'all have been incredibly generous. I'm wearing the shirt and tie that your church bought for me today, and I'm excited about that. I don't even usually wear these fancy things, but that came with the tie, and I'm just excited to be here. I mean, it is a joy. Again, this is an exciting church and a blessing. I want to get a quick commercial out of the way before we dig into the scriptures. My table back there, I'm with Baptist World Mission. Baptist World Mission has 247 missionaries serving around the world in 49 different countries. And we've talked about a couple here this week where we don't have missionaries yet. So we definitely have some openings, and we'd be excited about somebody surrendering to God's call to the mission field this week. And we would love to serve your church, because that's what Baptist World Mission does. We serve local churches, helping them and equipping them and aiding them in the call that God's given to this local church to send missionaries around the world. And so we would love to partner with you in that. On that table, in the middle to the left, everything on the left half of the table is absolutely free, all right? There are some prayer cards there. Most of our prayer cards are already gone. I'm going to have to ask my assistant to mail some to the next church that I'm going to in Indiana, because I think you guys are going to clean us out this week, and that thrills me, okay? But please take a prayer card, pray for us. That is free. There are some brochures on the left there as well. This one is How to Pray for Missionaries. I encourage you to grab that. That's absolutely free. And let me say this as well, all right? There is a quarterly periodical that we publish at Baptist World Mission. It's absolutely free. There is a QR code back there. If you don't know what that is, just ask me when you get back there. But there's a QR code. You can log into that, and you can register. Just plug your email address in here, your name and email, and we will send this to you every quarter for free, all right? I usually write, or somebody in our office will write a periodical or an issue, some kind of a, what is the word I'm looking for? Article, there we go, an article on missions on the front, and then on the inside we have brief testimonies of our missionaries around the world, what God is doing around the world, and I hope that'll be an encouragement to you to see what God is doing in South America and Asia and Africa and around the world, all right? That's free. Please click that, all right? Then on the right side of the table, there are some resources. Unfortunately, they are not free, but they are extremely helpful. There's a book on missions, missionary partnership. There's this little book, Should Christians Drink Wine and Alcohol? I don't know why some Christians don't know the answer to that question, all right? But this little book right here will give you 5 biblical principles to answer that question. There's a book on Pentecostalism. Our family CD is back there. If you like to listen to CD and music, I think that'll be an encouragement to you. All of that is back there on the table. A couple of those books have been translated into Spanish and French as well. All right, commercial over. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Mark chapter 16. And while you're turning to Mark chapter 16, I'd like to be transparent with you for a moment, all right? When your church called me and we were in discussions about this meeting, I asked, always try to ask ahead, what's the theme and the key verse so I can prepare my messages for that theme and key verse? And I was told on the phone, well, we don't have one yet. Do you have an idea? Well, I had just finished a 4-part series on the Great Commission. And I said, I think his Great Commission with Mark 16:15 would be a great theme. And I've already got the messages. I didn't tell him that, but I've already got the messages. So on the way over here, before I got here last week, I printed out that wonderful 4-part series, and the Holy Spirit started working in my heart. Brother Ben, you know that message you've preached on who are you and why are you here? I want you to preach that Sunday morning. And so I started thinking and negotiating with the Holy Spirit, and I said, now, Lord, you know it's going to be hard to get that four-part series in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday if I preach that one Sunday morning. Well, I'll figure it out. I'll trim here and cut here and that. And then on the way over here, the Lord kept working in my heart, and I've been meditating on Mark 16, 15. And so I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to the message tonight, because I have never preached this message, all right? This is one the Lord's laid on my heart in the last week in preparations for this. And I am absolutely convinced that the Lord has been orchestrating this week already. And I'm convinced that this message from Mark chapter 16 is for me tonight and for us who are here this evening. Would you stand with me, please, if you can? Mark chapter 16 is the last chapter there, and I'm going to read some verses. Please follow along. Verse 1. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And they said unto them, he said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Wait a minute. He said, go and tell the disciples, and they went out and didn't tell anybody anything. They were scared to death. Verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, what does it say there at the end? Believed not. Verse 12. After he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither, there it is again, believed they not, or believed they them. Verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, I pray that you would take your great commission and impress it on our hearts tonight, that we would believe your word and go in obedience tonight and preach the gospel. Bless your word to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. His great commission. The challenge is simple tonight. Believe and go. Believe and go. I want you to notice the context of this very, very familiar verse we have printed up here on the banner. The context is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and it seemed like nobody believed him. They did not believe the gospel. The disciples were in their room, it says here, weeping and mourning. Now, Jesus had told them what was going to happen. Do you remember that? Go back with me here in Mark. Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus told them. In Mark 8, 31, he said very plainly, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Look at chapter 9 and verse 31. Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. They're on their way to Jerusalem right here. And Jesus went before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And I want you to remember today, they did not believe the gospel. He told them what they were doing. He told them over and over and over again, and even on the way into Jerusalem, he reminded them, now this is what's going to happen. I wonder if there's someone here this evening who doesn't believe the gospel. You've heard it over and over and over again. You're here for crying out loud on a Monday night in a missions conference. And yet you know in your heart of hearts, as you sit here tonight, that you're on your way to hell. We're talking about the apostles here, all right? They did not believe. Even Jesus had told them, I'm going to suffer and die and be buried and rise again the third day. And maybe there's someone here this evening that needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved tonight. Because that is the only way you can be saved. And this missions conference is meaningless to you or anybody else until you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be saved. I want you to notice what else they didn't believe. Not only did they not believe the gospel, but they didn't believe the word of God. Look at it in verse 11 here in Mark 16, verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had seen of her, what does it say? Believe not. They did not believe. Jesus told them what to say. They went and obeyed, they told, and these disciples did not believe. They did not believe the word of God. Look at it in verse 13. Verse 12 says, After that he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked and went into the country. Remember that on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and those other guys were there, and Jesus appeared to them and taught them Jesus and the Messiah through the scriptures. I wish I could have been there on that walk. That would have been amazing. But look at verse 13. They went all the way back from where they'd arrived in the night to tell the disciples. And it says in verse 13, And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. These are the words of Jesus from these guys, and the disciples did not even believe. Why didn't they believe? Well, one theme we see from the ladies, they were affrighted, right? They were told to go and tell. The Bible says they went out, they didn't tell anybody because they were so afraid. It also says that of the disciples. 16 verse 8, And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe the word of God. Why didn't they believe the word of God? Well, it says here they were afraid. You know, there are a lot of people during missions conferences that get afraid. They get afraid of surrender. Hey, I've been there. I shared my testimony yesterday. Man, that seems like a long time ago. That was yesterday. All right. I shared my testimony yesterday, 12 years old when I trusted in Christ as my Savior. And you know what happened? In the next year, the Lord began to burden my heart. I didn't realize what it was at the time. Looking back now, I know it was God calling me to preach, but I didn't know it at the time. I just knew every time I opened my Bible, I knew God wanted me to surrender to preach. And if you had known me when I was 13 years old, I'm telling you right now, I was the most painfully shy young man in junior high you had ever met in your life. Now, I tell you that, and I'm standing up here, and you probably have a hard time believing. Just like my wife, when I met her in college, she's like, you tell people you're so introverted and shy, but, you know, you preach in chapel, and you do this and that. I'm like, I'm telling you. She didn't even believe me until we were on deputation, and I was in a church in Illinois, just over the border from Indiana, where I went to church, and there was one guy in the church, Brother Jeff. He was the only guy in the church that knew me. We were in the youth group together and grew up together and played basketball together. And so the pastor said, hey, Brother Jeff, since you know Brother Ben, why don't you introduce him tonight? And so Brother Jeff comes up. My wife and I are sitting in the front row here getting ready. And he says, this is my good friend, Brother Ben. We were in youth group together, and we used to play basketball together and this and that, and said some nice things. And then he said, and I am really looking forward to the message tonight because I cannot believe God called him to be a preacher. My wife looked over at me. You really worship. He goes, that guy, he couldn't look you in the eye when he's talking to you. He just went on and on about the reality. And I was trying to explain all this to God as a 13-year-old boy. Now, God, look at my brother. He loves drama. He loves standing up in front of people. Why don't you call him? And the Holy Spirit kept working on my heart. I want you to surrender. And you know what? I was afraid. And I didn't want to believe that God was doing a work in my heart, in my life. I didn't want to believe that God could use me to do anything for him. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you know God wants you to be a missionary, and you're afraid to surrender. Maybe you're afraid of the unknown. A lot of people are afraid of the unknown. These missionaries we come through, we tell all these stories, they're like, boy, that's so bizarre, I can't even imagine. We're in the car today telling driving stories from different countries around the world. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of unknowns in the cars and roads and potholes and everything else in the unknown. Some people are afraid of leaving home, what they're familiar with. Some people are afraid of foreign foods. I think your pastor was afraid of foreign food. He was saying, at lunch yesterday, I was scared to death. I thought I was going to lose all kinds of weight. And he got down there, and you know what? He liked the food down there, didn't you? But you know what? If he'd said, boy, I've got to have a certain diet. I've got to this and that. I'm afraid if I go to a foreign field, there might not be any food for me. You know what? We're not going to go in obedience if we're wrapped up in our fear. Fear of surrender, fear of the unknown, fear of leaving home, fear of foods, fear of comforts. I was in a church on deputation in North Carolina, and this guy came up to me. Now, remember, I'm on deputation, okay? And this guy comes up to me after the service, and he says, Brother Ben, man, I respect you missionaries so much. I could never be a missionary, you know, and I'm like, listen, brother, don't respect me. I haven't even been to the field yet, right? I'm still on deputation. And then I was about to get really spiritual and say, hey, you know, if God calls you to be a missionary, he'll give you the grace to do it. And I was about to give him this letter. He goes, no, Brother Ben, you don't understand. I could never be a missionary because I have to have a hot shower every morning. I just can't live without a hot shower every morning. And I know over there in Africa, they don't have power and they don't have this and that. And he was telling me that. And he had a very unique name. And so I didn't forget that conversation, all right? And with that unique name, I didn't forget his name. And so then I went for a term, and I came back, and I saw that guy, and I remembered him. And we preached that week, and in the middle of the conference, he comes up to me, and he goes, Brother Ben, you probably don't remember me. I was like, well, actually, I do. You're the guy that has to have a hot shower every day. I didn't tell him that, but I was thinking that. He said, God's been working on our heart. Me and my wife have been talking, and we think the Lord might want us to go on a missions trip. We were wondering if we could come and visit y'all in Cameroon. I said, well, brother, some things we have to talk about. But you know what? He and his wife and five kids, he took out of his retirement fund so that he and his family could go to Cameroon for a week missions trip. I went to the airport to pick him up. My wife called me. She said, Ben, you're not going to believe this. As soon as you left the house, the power went out. If that power doesn't come on, our water heater's not going to heat up. If that water heater doesn't heat up, he's going to arrive here, turn around, and go home the first day. I said, well, we better pray. Got him, picked him up that night, spent the night in the Capitol, called my wife the next morning. What about the power? No, it's still not back on. So I explained to him. I said, now look, I'll heat some water in the morning. You can take a bucket bath. Everything will be okay. It'll be warm. It won't be a shower, but it'll be warm. Next morning, I heard him go in the bathroom. I heard the water go on. I'm like, oh boy. I ran to the kitchen. I started heating some water for him. Water kept running. I got that water all warmed up, that bucket. I was standing at the bathroom when he came out. He came out with a big old smile on his face. Woo! That was my first Navy shower. Woo! That was cold. And you know what? He was smiling because you know what? He was right in the center of God's will. And the thing he had feared his whole life, it was okay when he was in the center of God's will. When he went believing, when he believed and went, God gave him the grace. And he had joy and victory in that. You say, Brother Ben, I fear having to learn a new language. Yeah, I've been there too. I looked at my grades and Spanish in high school, and I looked at my grades in Greek in college, and I said, Lord, how am I going to learn French? And I looked at my grades in French language school, and then I got to the part where the Lord started leading us to plant churches, and they didn't even speak French over there. They spoke pidgin. And I had to learn pidgin, and I'm going to tell you right now, I will never forget all my life the first time I led somebody to Christ in the pidgin language. That thing I had feared my whole life, learning a new language. Believe and go is what the gospel says here. Believe and go. Oh, I'm afraid to leave my family, my parents, my children. I'm afraid I won't have the abilities, Brother Ben. Again, I've been there. I remember as a 19-year-old boy at a camp in Wisconsin, I was a counselor. I'm supposed to be the one guiding my campers, right? Preacher came to the pulpit and preached from Matthew chapter 28, clear Great Commission passage. And I realized, I'm embarrassed to say, I realized for the first time in my life, the Great Commission is a command. It doesn't say if you have the abilities or if you're one of the gifted preachers in your church. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I said, you know what? I'm going to believe and go. And three of us came forward in that service at that camp, and two of us ended up being missionaries in Africa. Simply because as a teenager, we decided to believe and go. And that's all this passage is asking us to do. Believe and go. Now these struggled with belief because of fear. But I want you to notice what else they struggled with. Do you notice, let me find the verse here again. Verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto the two of them, and they walked and went into the country. That's not the one I'm looking for. I told you I never, okay, verse 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. They weren't believing because of their fear, but they also weren't believing God's word because of the sorrow and the emotions and the feelings that they were feeling. Because they didn't listen to Jesus telling them over and over and over again what was going to happen. Now they feel like their world has crashed, their career that they gave up was finished, and now they don't know what to do, and they're weeping and mourning. And you know what we need to do when we're weeping and mourning and it feels like our whole world has fallen apart or we don't have the ability to do what God's asking us to do? We need to believe and go. The week before we were supposed to be appointed with Baptist World Mission, the week before, my wife went into labor with our firstborn son. long story I don't have time to tell. My son was born with a rare liver disease. He was in intensive care the first several weeks of his life. And after about a month, they said he had to have a liver transplant to survive. They sent us down to Atlanta, where they have the world record for the youngest liver transplant. We got down to Atlanta, and the doctor said, "Your son is so sick. He's got bleeding on his brain, his lungs. He's got all these problems. If we had a perfect match, we could not do a surgery. We can't put him on the transplant list. We're going to send you back to Chattanooga with comfort care till he dies." We said, "Well, how long does he have?" And the doctor said, "2 months at the most." God, we're supposed to be at Baptist World Mission getting appointed to serve you. We surrendered to serve you in Cameroon. What is this all about? Hey, believe and go. 2 months from the day the doctor told us our son had 2 months at the most, Andrew came home from the hospital. He never had a liver transplant. He was on Channel 3 News in Chattanooga, the holiday miracle baby. I can't explain that. We just believed and went. That's what we decided to go. We knew we couldn't go to Cameroon with a transplant patient. We knew that. So we just believed and went. And you know what? There was a lot of weeping and mourning during those weeks and months. But God was with us. And God brought us through. You know what? There are times on the field where there are demises. The Bible describes, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You pour your life into people for years, and they turn their back on the Lord and go their own way because of their love for the world. You know what? That tears you up. There's a lot of weeping and mourning in times like that. And you know what you do? The Scripture says, you believe God's word and you go. You believe and go. My mom called me one day in Cameroon and said, "Your dad was just diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And for the last 12 years of his life, he struggled with Parkinson's disease till he went to be with the Lord. Every time I'd come back for a furlough and I'd hug my dad, I didn't know if that was the last time. Every time I would beg God to sustain my mother in her 70s, taking care of my dad." You know what you do in times like that? You believe God's word, and you keep going. I have so much I want to share. I don't know how I could fit all this in here, but for years, we prayed the Lord would give us co-workers in Cameroon. When we first went to Cameroon, we went with the team. First 7 years, we worked with another couple there in Cameroon. And then the Lord led them back to the United States, and so we were kind of there with the Cameroonians, and we tried to continue on as a team with nationals, but we kept praying that the Lord of the harvest would send forth American missionaries to work with us, alongside us. Long story short, we thought God had answered our prayers in calling Charles and Stephanie Wesco and their 8 children to Cameroon. We were pumped. They arrived in October 2018. And two weeks after they arrived, our vehicle was attacked. Charles Wesco was shot in the head with a 12-gauge shotgun right next to me, in my car. And I can remember crying out to God, "God, I'm in the center of your will. Brother Wesco and his family is in the center of your will. What is going on?" You know what God said? "Believe me and keep going." God brought us back to the States for a full year. I traveled across this country in 2019 sharing his testimony, much like those martyrs in Ecuador sharing what God did in his life. And in 2019, more than 20 people surrendered their lives to be missionaries to Cameroon. The first six just left this year. I didn't see that at that time. But you know what God says? He doesn't explain it to us. Sometimes he just says, believe and go. And that's what he's saying in this passage tonight. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe the word of God itself. And they didn't believe the testimonies of others. Do you see that? One, two, three examples of those who had seen the risen Christ telling the disciples and they didn't even believe it. And you know what? There's probably someone, there may be someone sitting here tonight who heard the song this evening, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, and you're doubting. And I'm here to tell you, believe their testimony and go on for the Lord. When a brother Waller stands up here and he says, I had the biggest house in town and five cars and all the money that I could want, and you know what? It didn't satisfy. And some of you sitting out here, maybe some of you young people, that's your goal in life, is to have the biggest house in town and to have everything that you could want. And you don't believe this testimony, but I'm telling you right now, what Brother Waller is saying is true. Believe what he's saying. The things of this world cannot satisfy. And these people did not believe the testimony of these witnesses who saw the risen Christ until finally the Lord himself showed up and rebuked them. And what did he say to them? He rebuked them for their unbelief, and he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Believe and go. Go is an imperative. It is a command. It's not just for the missionaries. It's for every single one in this room. And you see it because the next verse says, go ye. And I'm thankful the King James Version still has ye in it, all right? Because in French and in Spanish and some of the other languages here, we have tu and vous, all right? We have singular and plural you. But today, in modern English, at least where I grew up, we have you and you, all right? But the old English still had it. There was you or thee, and then there was ye, plural. Now, down in Alabama, we still have a singular and a plural. We have you and y'all, all right? But that's what ye is. It's a y'all. It's not talking to the pastor and the missionaries. It's talking to y'all. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, go ye. I'm not just talking to one of you or a couple of you or the gifted ones or the smart ones or the public ones or the ones that enjoy standing up in front of people. This command, this great commission, his great commission is for everyone in this room. Go ye. Where? Into all the world. Not just the easy places. Not just the local places. Into all the world. Every nation. Every tribe. Every tongue. Every people. Go ye into all the world. And do what? Believe, go, and preach. These are the words of Christ. Believe, go, and preach. This is for everyone in this room. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. Preach. Preach what? Preach the gospel. The gospel. Not the Pentecostal gospel like I've got back there on the table, or the social gospel, or the prosperity gospel, or the equity gospel, or the liberation gospel, or all these new gospels, the woke gospel, and all these gospels that are coming out, all right? Preach the gospel, the one that Jesus repeated over and over and over again to his disciples, that Christ was crucified for us, buried, and rose again the third day. Repent and believe in him. That gospel, the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm finished. Believe, go, and preach. Are you obeying the Lord today? Are you allowing the fears of this world to distract you from the clear instruction of the Word of God tonight? Well, Brother Ben, I don't want to go and talk to my neighbor. I'm developing a relationship with him. Relationships are so important, but relationships are just a bridge. We got to cross the bridge with the gospel. I'm afraid to witness to my family. It's hard to witness to family. I think family is the hardest of all. That coworker, the Lord's been laying him on my heart, but I'm afraid. Hey, believe. Don't give in to your fear. Believe his word. Believe the gospel. And go and preach the gospel. And maybe there's someone here this evening, or maybe several someones. And like I was as a 19-year-old boy, I was confronted with the command of the Great Commission. You say, you know what, Brother Ben? I don't understand it. I don't have any emotional tinglings going on in my heart right now, but I'm going to come forward tonight, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what I'm going to do with my life, because that's what Christ said to do. Let's all stand together. Maybe somebody could play something at the piano. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.